This episode is brought to you by Allstate. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check the date of the big game first before you accidentally buy tickets on your 20th wedding anniversary and have to spend the next 20 years of your marriage making up for it. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary. Terms apply. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Northbrook, Illinois.
I think you're on mute.
Workday is starting to sound the same.
I think you're on mute.
Find something that sounds better for your career on LinkedIn. With LinkedIn Job Collections, you can browse curated collections by relevant industries and benefits, like flex PTO or hybrid workplaces, so you can find the right job for you. Get started at linkedin.com/jobs. Finding where you fit. LinkedIn knows how.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit TurboTax. Didn't file with TurboTax last year? That's in the past. Now, Taxus is getting the TurboTax app and filing your own taxes for free if you didn't file with them last year. File by February 18th. All tax forms, all 100% free. Now, this is Taxus. Intuit TurboTax. New filers and filers who didn't use TurboTax last year only must start and file your own taxes in app by February 18th. Excludes TurboTax Live. Full terms at TurboTax.com.
Well, I didn't see this coming. Arsenal make a bid of £60 million for Aston Villa star Ollie Watkins. The bid has been rejected, but the Gunners are expected to go in again. We'll discuss this surprising news on this bonus episode of the Chronicles of Aguna podcast. Hey, everybody, how are we? Welcome back to another episode of the pod, a bonus edition of the pod. You're getting a fair few of these at the moment because there's just so much going on. Just when I was getting to terms with the idea of Arsenal not going out and bringing in a blockbuster signing, not going out and bringing in the striker that we've all been calling for such a long time, this breaks. This news comes like a bolt out of the blue. Arsenal interested in Aston Villa star Ollie Watkins, with the Gunners apparently having made a £60 million offer, which has been rejected, but it's really, really interesting. It's really, really interesting for a number of reasons, and I want to break those down on this episode. Wasn't planning to do this episode. This is very much an off-the-cuff episode. There are no notes. There are no bullet points. I haven't even thought through what I'm going to say. I just thought, what's the earliest that I can get in front of my laptop and behind this microphone so that we can talk about it? And here we are. We're still bringing you the watch along tonight, by the way, of the Girona game. I'm all set up for that. So, looking forward to you guys joining me for that. So make sure you do come over. But for now, we're talking Ollie Watkins. We're talking transfers. And we're going to try and make sense of this. So let's start with Ollie Watkins as an option. I've looked at Ollie Watkins for a long time and have been a big admirer. But my kind of put off point, if you like, has always been, well, he's an Aston Villa player. There's no way they're going to sell him to us. And if they do sell him to us, they're going to want an astronomical amount of money. That's always been my concern about Ollie Watkins. And the other thing, if I'm being brutally honest, has always been about the fact that, you know, he's not necessarily of the age profile that Arsenal would normally go for. Okay, he's 29 years old. Now, granted, he only turned 29 at the end of last month. So, you know, it's not like he's 29 going on 30. He's literally just turned 29. But you think about that, you think about the price that I would expect Aston Villa to deal at, which, as I said, in my head was always astronomical. And there was a part of me that just thought this wasn't viable. And I'm not sure that even though now I know that Arsenal have made an offer, that I think is viable even now. Like, I just don't feel that way. And so I'm protecting my emotions and my feelings here. I'm trying not to get too carried away with this one because I look at it and it just doesn't make a great deal of sense, right? So earlier on in the day, when we brought you the full episode of the podcast, we talked about John Duran. And we talked about the fact that he was the subject of some interest from Al Nassr, that they were in for John Duran or Victor Boniface, that they were going to sign one of them. And we knew that they had a bid rejected by Aston Villa for John Duran. But that was what we were saying at that point. That was what we knew at that time. I don't know, if I'm being completely honest, what the landscape looks like with regards to John Duran's future. So I don't know if John Duran is on his way to Saudi Arabia. If he is, then surely that reduces the chances of us getting Ollie Watkins. David Ornstein reported earlier in the week that Aston Villa would be open to selling one of their centre forwards because they've got this issue at the moment where they both want to play, they both want to start. And, you know, unfortunately, that's not possible because Unai Emery has a preference of playing with a lone striker. Duran was the one that was mentioned as the player that could be up for sale. And the price quoted was £80 million. If somebody could cough up £80 million, Aston Villa would be willing and open to letting John Duran go. Then we hear that John Duran's on his way to Saudi Arabia, potentially. We hear of an offer that's significantly lower than that. And then we hear of Arsenal making a bid for Ollie Watkins. Now, I don't know when this bid was made. And this is what I find really, really interesting, because there's some contradictory reports out there. And it's still very early stages. We're coming to you live, an hour after the news has broken. So there's still a lot that we need to kind of untangle and figure out, I think. And we probably will learn a lot more about this over the coming days and during what remains of the transfer window. But it seems to me that there's some contradiction in the reporting, because some people are saying Aston Villa are furious with Arsenal because not only have they made an approach for their star man late in the window, but that they've done it with a big, big Champions League game on the horizon or tonight. Others are saying that this bid and this approach went in earlier. And maybe it was at the back end of last week. So I always say this, don't I? When I talk to you guys, I often say we're often behind the curve. There's a lot of the time where we're behind the curve. And if we hear of something on a Wednesday, it probably happened on the Friday before. And that's kind of where I'm thinking, this kind of all sort of leads to as well when you break it all down. I think Arsenal probably made this approach a little bit earlier than what we're led to believe. £60 million. It's a lot of money from our point of view, I think, for a 29-year-old, but it won't be a lot of money to Aston Villa. And this is where I talked about it on the pod earlier. You get into this space where you're trying to battle between what you believe as a buying club a player is worth and what the selling club feel his value is to them. If Aston Villa were to lose Ollie Watkins, that would be a major, major blow. I honestly believe that. And therefore, in my opinion, they are going to want to be compensated handsomely, because it would be a major, major loss. So where do we go? How far do we go? How far do we push? What is a reasonable amount of money for us to set as our limit when going in for a 29-year-old? It's a story that makes a lot of sense. Ollie Watkins has always spoken of his connection to Arsenal Football Club. Ollie Watkins has always made no secret of the fact that he was an Arsenal fan, etc., etc. And all of that is really, really encouraging and great for us, because it means that the fit would be great. But the problem that we have, guys, the problem that we have is, how do we get him out of Aston Villa now, in particular, if John Duran's leaving? Now, let me be clear. We're reacting to this very shortly after the news has broken. It's very, very difficult for us to kind of to know the bigger picture. I'm constantly scrolling through X, trying to find more information, new information. And I can see what I find wild, by the way, is that I can see Arsenal fans, the likes of which are normally online criticizing the club, effing and blinding about the club, telling you that this club has no ambition whatsoever and that this club is in the gutter, etc., etc. Those same people who say that you should just pay whatever it takes and go and get the right man are now looking at Ollie Watkins and saying, 60 million, that's way too much. Why don't we go get one of the others? Well, you can't have it both ways, guys. You can't have it both ways. That's just not the way it works, is it? We're obviously fans of Ollie Watkins. Is we've obviously been tracking him for a long, long time. We've obviously been interested in him for a while. We've known that, even as Arsenal fans, that there's been an admiration on Mikel Arteta's part for Ollie Watkins. And it feels like now Arsenal are at the point where they're willing to make that bid and willing to make that offer. How far will Arsenal go? Some of the cynics out there are saying that this is just Arsenal doing a good bit of PR. Put out the news of a bid. Make the fans believe that you are trying your best to get a deal done, but it's not going to come off. And then you'll turn around and you'll say, well, at least we tried, and at least we showed that ambition, even if we didn't manage to get it over the line. You can't really win in this scenario as Arsenal. In an ideal world, this bid doesn't come out. It doesn't come out into the public domain at this stage, particularly when it's a rejected bid. But these things all always and often find a way of coming out into the ether. I wonder if Arsenal have had some encouragement. I wonder if Arsenal have had some encouragement from Ollie Watkins' people, because I find it hard to believe that they would do this, like create a bit of a tension between themselves and a rival who they might want to buy for. If they didn't have some indication or messaging from Ollie Watkins' people that says, do you know what? If you can strike a deal with Aston Villa, I'm game. Let's do it. Why would he not? He's always said he wants to play for Arsenal. He'd be a great fit for us. He's exactly what we need at the moment. I know people keep saying in the chat box, right? I know people keep saying, he's 29. Look, here's one from North London, Steve. He says, why would we pay £60 million for a 29 to 30 year old? We can get Gyökeres for an extra 10 mil. Watkins is a bang average player. 100% no, says Steve, the North London forever Gooner. Look, first of all, I agree on the age part. I've said it already. I don't think it's the ideal fit. But Ollie Watkins is a bloody good player. And I am way more confident that Ollie Watkins would score goals in an Arsenal shirt in this Premier League, where he's done it before. And he's done it for a fair few seasons now. I'm way more confident he would be a success than Victor Gyökeres. And I think that's probably the way the club feel. That's why nobody is getting near the sort of 80, 90 million euro valuation that Sporting have for Victor Gyökeres. That is crazy, crazy money. And nobody bloody wants to pay it. I mean, people are saying that we should wait and get Benjamin Sesko. And I like Benjamin Sesko. And certainly when you compare his age profile to that of Ollie Watkins's, it feels like a longer term investment. I agree with that. But the same people will be sitting there moaning come February the 3rd if we don't have a striker in the door. The club are being proactive. The club are trying to get somebody that we all know would be able to do a job, that would upgrade us in that centre forward position, not just provide cover to Kai Havertz, someone that could genuinely, push him and take the number one spot in that centre forward position, to take some of that goal scoring burden away from him, and someone who probably has 3-4 more seasons at the highest level in him. He might be 29. He's just turned 29, but he looks like he's in really, really good condition. And whilst it's not ideal because of the fact that he is 29 years old and we're going to have to overpay, but we would have to overpay for anybody at this stage. We'd have to overpay for anybody, because everybody and their dog knows how desperate we are to get a striker in. Therefore, we are going to overpay. So why not overpay, if you're going to overpay, for someone that is more likely to be a success? He is very, very likely to be a success if he makes this switch over to Arsenal. Let's have a look at what you guys are saying in the chat. Lots of you criticizing me for talking about Victor Gyökeres in that way. I haven't been disrespectful to Victor Gyökeres. I just don't think Gyökeres in the Premier League is a sure thing. I just don't. I never have. I've never been the guy that was all in on Victor Gyökeres. Have I been impressed with him at times when I've watched him? Certainly. Have I been impressed with his goal record when I look at the numbers, the cold, hard facts? Absolutely. But am I convinced that he's worth the price that we'd have to pay? No. Am I convinced that Ollie Watkins at 29 years old is worth 65, 70 million, which is probably what we're going to have to pay to get this deal done? Probably not. But I'm okay with making a bit of a concession there, because I'm confident that he would score goals in this Premier League. Why am I confident that he would score goals in this Premier League? Because he's been doing it for a while now. If you go back to the 22-23 season. He got 15 league goals in 37 appearances for Aston Villa. If you take it on to the 23-24 season, 19 goals and 13 assists. 19 goals and 13 assists in 37 Premier League games. And then if you look at this season, it's not been as great for Ollie Watkins so far this season, but he's still got 10 goals and 5 assists, 15 direct goal contributions in the Premier League, having made 23 appearances. That is a really, really strong record in the league that we'd be asking him to come in and have an impact for us. So I think that is significant to a point. I really, really do. Art Michael says, Watkins will elevate our attack this season, no doubt, but I don't think it's a buy for the long term. For that amount of money, we should find someone, not just for now, but also for the future. Okay, I accept that the ideal scenario is that you go and you drop that money on someone who is of the right age profile, who you think can do it for a long period of time. But if that person is not available right now, yet we feel as a football club that getting this deal done could get us over the line in terms of winning those trophies, wouldn't it be worth it? Let's say we overpay by 15 million quid, 20 million quid even. Would that not be worth that money if at the end of the season we're lifting the Premier League title or the Champions League trophy? Of course it would. Of course it would. Come on. Come on. What else have we got? Invincible says, not prolific enough for us, but way better than Havertz. How prolific do you want the guy to be? This is the thing. Like, when you say he's not prolific enough, who is? Erling Haaland? Well, you ain't going to get him. Kylian Mbappe? You ain't going to get him. Who is prolific enough for Arsenal by that logic? I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear it. Sooty says, PL proven, will score goals straight away and has a profile we don't currently have in our front line. Agree with all of that. Agree with all of that. Christian says, Harry, who do you think Villa would prefer to sell between Ollie Watkins and Duran? I'd imagine Watkins, because although I think Watkins is probably more of a sure thing right now in terms of what he's going to give you and in terms of his outputs, I think that because of his age and because of the fact that with his age ever increasing, it means his value is probably ever decreasing. If they can get a lot of money right now, then that would make a lot more sense. John Duran could still improve. John Duran could still increase in value. He could also decrease in value if things start going south for him. But you get the point I'm trying to make. Watkins's value has already peaked. Like, it doesn't get higher from this point onwards, whereas John Duran still has scope and that could still increase and grow in terms of his value we're talking about. So yeah, Josh says, I love this. I wanted Arsenal to sign Watkins for a couple of years, and the fans need to remember Ian Wright and the age he came to Arsenal at and the impact he had. B.O.W. says, I'd argue Duran would be better for Arsenal in the long run. Yes, but, and I'm not sure I agree with this. I'm kind of on the fence about this, but even if you think that John Duran would be the right solution, is John Duran for sale? For Arsenal to have bid for Ollie Watkins, they believe that there's a potential that this deal can happen. They believe, either because of some indications they've had from Aston Villa or what they've heard from the players, people, that there is a deal to potentially be done here. Matt's point, Villa won't want to strengthen Arsenal. Of course they won't. And that's why we're probably going to have to overpay. It's why we're going to have to overpay. There's no doubt about that. Effie makes a great point. Manchester United signed Robin van Persie, I beg your pardon, for immediate impact, and they won the league. There you go. If we signed Ollie Watkins and that allowed us to take that jump and we went on and won the Premier League, or we went on and won the Champions League, I would not give a damn about how much we paid for it. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. Let me summarize then where I'm at on this, because I think there's still a lot that we need to get our heads around. I think we're probably going to learn more about this situation over the next few days. I think we're going to learn a lot about, you know, how serious Arsenal are with this, by how far they're willing to push it. And we're going to learn how strong Aston Villa are in terms of their resolve. They've already rejected a £60 million bid. What's it going to take to bring them to the table? What's going to happen with John Duran? Because I do think this directly impacts on what happens with Ollie Watkins as well. So there's lots and lots to come over the next few days in terms of drama, twists and turns, I'm sure. But just to summarize my thoughts on this, really like Ollie Watkins, would love to have him at the Arsenal. Do I worry about spending £60 million or north of £60 million, to be clear, because that bid's been rejected, on a player who is 29 years old? Yeah, it's not ideal. But if we think he's a difference maker, then I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. We are going to have to spend big on a striker at some point or another. Why not do it now if the right opportunity presents itself? Ollie Watkins is a player that this club have admired for a long, long time. This isn't just something that has come out of the blue. This is something that has been there, an existing interest. Maybe there is some risk to it because of his age, but I think there's risk to every deal that you do. And I think whoever we were going to try and bring in January, we were going to have to overpay, because that's the situation we've left ourselves in. That's the situation we find ourselves in with 3-4 days remaining of the window. So I'm all for it. I don't know how much it's going to take. I don't know if the deal is even possible, but Arsenal are pushing to sign Ollie Watkins. And you can be sure that we will keep you up to speed with every development on this potential deal over the course of the next few days. So strap yourselves in. It's going to be an interesting end to the transfer window for the Gunners by the looks of things. Just before I sign out, though, going to ask you very, very kindly to leave a like on the video if you're watching us on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel as well if you're brand new. All of that stuff really, really helps. And if you're listening on audio, because we will be dropping this episode as a bonus pod on the audio platforms, then please do leave us a review. All of that great stuff really, really does help. Also, remember, we're doing a watch-along. We are doing a watch-along on this very channel of Arsenal's trip to Girona, and that kicks off at 7:40 p.m. where we'll be discussing the team news. We'll probably bring you some more reaction to this Watkins stuff or any more news as it breaks throughout the night. We'll also keep tabs on some of the other Champions League games going on as well, and keep an eye on that table that is going to be constantly evolving, I think, through the night. Should be a fascinating night. Haven't done a watch along in a while. Really, really looking forward to it. I will see you all on the other side. See you soon. Take care of yourselves. Thanks so much.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.